Luke 11, verses 1 through 13, these are God's words. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. I think we can infer from verses 1 through 4 that the Lord Jesus' praying is reflected in verses 2 through 4. You remember that at least 4 of these disciples were originally disciples of John the Baptizer, and they had been with him. And so when they say, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples, there was a kind of praying that they had learned from John. And we can probably infer rightly from John the Baptizer's preaching that he was praying for the coming of the Christ, for the coming of the one who would baptize with the Spirit and fire, praying for the success of our repenting as he was calling upon people and proclaiming to people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, the disciples, some of whom had been disciples of John, they hear Jesus pray, and they have noticed that Jesus' praying is different than John's praying was. And they would like to pray now, not according to the pattern of John, but according to the pattern of Jesus. And they say, Jesus, teach us to pray like you pray. This is something that all believers want. We're commanded in the Bible to pray. We know God is glorified by praying. We know that God has appointed prayer as a means by which he works, and his responding to prayer as one of the great ways in which he works. And so we want to pray, and we want to pray in a biblical way. We want to pray in the way that the Lord Jesus prays as he intercedes for us. We want to pray according to the mind of God, just like Romans 8 tells us, that the Holy Spirit helps us, and that he prays perfectly according to the mind of God, and he intercedes for us because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. And so we are very interested in the same thing that the disciples are interested in. As we come to Luke 11, we want to learn to pray in a way that is informed, directed by Jesus' own praying, and he gives us instruction here. One of the first things, then, is that we call God Father. There is a childlike confidence in the one who has adopted us. It was probably very unique for them to hear Jesus saying, "My Father." There was a sense in which Old Testament believers knew the Lord as the Father of Israel. He had told Egypt, "Israel is my firstborn son." But they did not know him as Father the way the Lord Jesus did. One of the great things that comes in Jesus' ministry is he makes clearer unto us the triune nature of God that we have seen many times in the Old Testament. But the Lord Jesus, in especially now in his human nature and before other humans, interacting not only as a man, but as God the Son, the only begotten, and through him, we may not become only begotten children, but we may become adopted children, as the Spirit of the Son is sent forth into our hearts, like the Holy Spirit says in Galatians, and makes us call God our Abba. And so you see right off the bat that this is a Jesus-patterned praying. When we say, "Our Father in heaven," and then he makes this point at the end of the passage as well, after having reminded them that by God's mercy, even though they are evil fathers on earth, they know how to give their children some good things. They don't give their children the worst thing possible whenever their child asks for a good thing. They like to give their children good things. And he says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And so that's the first thing that we ask. Now, what had John taught his disciples? John had proclaimed the need for repentance. He had proclaimed that there was a Christ coming who would pour out the Holy Spirit. Jesus is teaching his disciples to believe that they are receiving the Holy Spirit in verse 13. Christ upgrades, as it were. The kingdom has come. Jesus is the king. What John the baptizer was praying for has arrived. And now you're not praying. We don't pray for the coming of Christ, but the second coming of Christ. We don't pray that the kingdom would come for the first time, because we know that the kingdom has come in Christ, but we still pray for the fullness of the kingdom, and we pray, "Thy kingdom come." We don't pray merely for repentance, but for sure and free forgiveness on the one hand, in verse 4, "Forgive us our debts, for we have forgiven others." God has given us repentance, and because God has given us repentance, we are confident that he has forgiven us, and we ask him to keep forgiving us. In fact, not only has God given us repentance, but we pray for the completion of that repentance. "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me now not only to love you as you have made me to love you, not only to obey you as you have called me according to your purpose." And you can hear, I hope, in those two requests, Romans 8:28, "All things working together for good for those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose." And you can see the work that God has done in you as a guarantee of all of the perfect good that he is yet to do for you. But now, don't just give me to love you, don't, as we have begun to do, as I have begun to be called for your purpose, but grant that that stuff would be completed, that I would be made like Jesus, that I would be made in my righteousness like the holy angels and the souls of the just made perfect. Give me to do your will like they do in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray not merely for the one to come who would pour out the Spirit. That's what John was preaching, that there was one coming after him who would baptize with the Spirit and with fire. But we pray for the instant and delighted and abundant giving of that Spirit, knowing that Christ has come. And we see that in verses 11 through 13 of our passage. The Lord Jesus teaches us to be ambitious and confident in our praying. Your friend, he says, and in verses 5 through 8, might not be happy to give you something because he is your friend. After all, he was all nice and toasty, and he's got his kids acting like hot water bottles, warming him and probably his wife up in bed. But he gets up and he gets the three loaves, not because he was happy to do it for the sake of your friendship, but because you were earnest and persistent and bold enough to bug him in the middle of the night. Now, our Heavenly Father is not like our neighbor. He doesn't need sleep. He doesn't get chilly. He's not tired in the middle of the night or otherwise preoccupied. He's not like Baal, who goes on vacation or sits on the potty. Baal doesn't exist, doesn't actually do those things. But the idea of Baal is Elijah mocks Baal to Baal's prophets. You remember all of that. Our God is always ready and instant. And yet, he has, in the way he has ordered things, made boldness and persistence ways by which we can increase getting things from others, to teach us to be bold with him through the Lord Jesus Christ, to teach us to be persistent with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the things that prayer is designed to teach us, to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking. It is a means of grace not only in our getting what we ask for, but in the building of our confidence in Christ, the stirring up of our faith in God. As we continue asking, and as we are confident in the asking, even though we must ask persistently, and to be bold with him because Jesus has taken away all of our guilt, Jesus has earned all of our favor, and Jesus has gained for us the status of adopted children. There is no one who goes to the throne of a king with more confidence of the favor of the king than the king's beloved child, who knows and is confident in his daddy's affection. The greatest nobles of the land might go, and they would not have the confidence and the hope and the certainty that the king's child does. And so we come and we learn what daddy likes, because he is making us loving children as well. And we ask for the things that daddy likes. That's one of the things that that is implied to us or taught to us in Jesus teaching us how to pray, right? In God's good providence, Sophia's catechism question this week is, what is prayer? And the answer is, prayer is asking God for things which he has promised to give. We want to ask for things that we know that the king likes. This isn't a manipulation of the king to bend him to our will. And yet, because he is teaching us his will, because he has adopted us as his own dear children, because he's given us his only begotten Son in whom we are adopted, because he has sent his own Spirit and given his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, and sent him into our hearts, we have confidence before him. And so we ask, and we seek, and we knock. And so it's a marvelous thing. The Lord Jesus teaches us how to pray. One of the things that many Christians at one point or another in their life are troubled with is how feeble, and they may even fear, unglorifying to God their prayers are. And so if you ever feel like you don't know how to pray, or that your praying is weak, not well instructed, or not pleasing to God, or not effective as a means of God's grace to work in you, here is one of the great places in the Bible that you can come and learn how to pray. From Jesus, on his own lips, as it were. Although, as you know, the whole Bible are the words of Christ and is useful for teaching us to pray. But that special form of prayer that he has given us as a model is the prayer that we find in the first four verses here. Well, let us pray and ask God to help us in our praying. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for reminding us as we learn about prayer of who you are, the great King of heaven, to whom belongs a kingdom and whose kingdom has come in your Son, our Lord Jesus the Christ, the Anointed. Thank you for reminding us not only of who you are, but of whom you have made us to be unto yourself, that we are your beloved children, that you are not only our God and King, but that you are our God and Father, and our King and Father. And so we thank you that we may call you our Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord, often to have even these very words, and always this very view of you, as we have learned you to be such in Christ, and as we embrace the greatness of your love for us, beholding the manner of love that you have shown unto us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are, because that is what you have made us to be in your everlasting electing love in Christ, and in giving him to be ours and us to be joined to him, that we might be joint heirs with him, and he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we pray that you would help us in our prayer to know you, to know your will, to pray according to your will, to lay hold of your goodness, to learn and grow in the graces of persistence and boldness and confidence in you. Help us in our praying, Lord, that we would not just parrot out many empty words, as we are prone to do with mere intellectual, theological knowledge, and that we would not just come with many light and frivolous words, as we are prone to do if we come only with love and familiarity, but not with the sturdy doctrine and teaching about who you are and what you have done and what you are doing. But help us, we pray, to put the thoughts with the relationship that you have taught us about in this passage, that we would know you, and that in knowing you we would know your glory, and we would know your purpose, and we would lay hold of those things. So glorify yourself in all of our praying. Help us, we ask, in all of our praying. And this, too, we ask through Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.